This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This episode shares my conversation with current school committee vice chair and candidate for re-election, Denise Spencer. This is one of a series of conversations with candidates for the Franklin election on November 2nd, 2021. I do this to provide Franklin, Mass. Voters with accurate and timely information that they can use to cast an informed vote. We cover the candidate questions as previously developed in conjunction with the community and shared in advance with the candidates. Five of the questions, as you read, are general in nature. The sixth is specific to the role of the candidate, in this case, the school committee. Our conversation runs about 22 minutes. Let's listen to my interview with Denise Spencer.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on the local Franklin area dial at 102.9. Here today with a candidate interview, Denise Spencer, one of the existing incumbents of the school committee and now signing up potentially for a second term. Denise, thank you for taking time.
Thank you very much, Steve, for having me.
You're welcome. We want to hear. So getting into it, the first question, and then by the way, for the listeners, the questions were sent in advance to the candidates. There's no surprises. They're all common questions. They're all things that matter, no pun intended, for voters to make an informed decision as we approach November 2nd. So with that, briefly, what's your Franklin story? Tell us about your life here.
Sure. Thank you. So I grew up in Walpole, just right down the road, and I am a product of the public school systems. My family moved here to Franklin in 2017. I felt it was the perfect fit, really, the place I wanted to raise my son. He is currently a fifth grader at Keller Elementary School. We love the community. We love our schools, the teachers and staff. They've all worked so hard to educate, care for, and nurture our students. As a current member of the school committee, I have had the honor of serving the Franklin community during some truly unprecedented times over my first term.
Yeah, that was not on the radar when you walked into this, for sure.
Absolutely not, no.
There were a few other hot button questions, but not COVID, not this pandemic.
Not on the radar in fall of 2019.
So moving thereby into this second question, talking about elections in particular, that's one of the key freedoms for American life, and voting is one of the primary responsibilities for citizens. While a law doesn't require citizens to vote, voting is an important part of any democracy. So what can you tell us about your voting record? And if you've not been an active voter, please tell us why and how it is important that we elect people who are active participants in the election process.
Well, so yes, I have been an active voter at both the local and national levels. Just starting several years ago, I began bringing my son with me so he could kind of start learning about the process. You know, I think that starting as young as possible when learning about anything really is so important. You know, we discuss the candidates, how someone gets on a ballot and so on. He finds it even more fascinating now since I've become involved in local government. Mm. And I also think he just really loves getting the sticker and the lollipop.
There are some benefits.
Yes. You know, I think that it is important that we elect people who are active participants in their community. You know, local politics have a long history of shaping change in our country from the ground up. Policies such as women's suffrage, minimum wage, marriage equality all began at the local and state level. I believe by voting in a local elections and holding your officials accountable, you help create the change you want to see in your community.
And moving into another kind of hot button topic, specifically because of COVID and what it's been doing to us as it's still lingering. Have you been vaccinated for the COVID-19? And do you think there should be a mask mandate in Franklin if required? Finally, what measures should the government take to protect the public from the virus, and how should those efforts be delineated between local, state, and federal government?
Yes.
That's a mouthful, I know.
It is a mouthful. So yes, both my fiance and I are vaccinated. I'm currently awaiting news of a vaccination for the under 12 demographic, so my son can also benefit from the science. The second part, I think, so do I think there should be a mask mandate in Franklin? Unfortunately, I'm not a medical professional, but I do believe that we should listen to and follow the science. The pandemic has made it clear that students learn best in the classrooms. Public health experts recommend districts do everything in their power to keep our children in school by using the multi-layered mitigation strategies. You know, for example, the Swiss cheese model that we've discussed in several of our school committee meetings, where we've had the social distancing, personal hygiene, air filtration, mask wearing, et cetera. These same public health experts agree that wearing a mask is an effective piece in keeping kids and teachers safe in school. Masks remain a readily available and effective tool to mitigate the chances of school disruption, both for individuals and the entire community. I know just for myself, if my son has to come home because he's a close contact, I'm lucky enough that I'm still working from home. I realize that others in the community don't have that same luxury. So we want to keep disruption as low as possible for the community. When DESE came out with their mask mandate last month, they used supporting evidence of cases in schools last year with all the mitigation measures in place. This year, we won't have the same measures in place that we did last year. We've lost social distancing and remote learning as a tool. So those are now off the table. I believe it's evident that mandating face coverings in schools was the right thing to do for our state. At a local level, it's important that we continue to educate the community on the science behind the vaccine, as well as the other mitigation strategies, such as the mask wearing. The federal government just yesterday rolled out their vaccine mandate. All this being said, the job of the school committee is really not to make such broad public health decisions. We look to the local and state levels, such as the Board of Health and Department of Education, for their leadership and guidance.
Yeah, navigating through this, because ultimately it comes down to all of our health as being a good requirement. And if we want to get business back, continue life back to something of normal, we need to get through this somehow.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And unfortunately, there is no handbook on how to handle all of this. And it seems things are constantly changing. So I think that, unfortunately, flexibility remains key at this point.
Yeah. The science is still evolving a year, 18 months after it started or so, and time is continuing to go. They're still learning, which is the nature of science anyway. So shifting from that into the other pieces, what three most important actions do you think are needed for Franklin to move forward?
So I hope it's okay that I kind of centered this question around the public schools. So I think that one of the important actions needed is a master facilities plan. Mm-hmm. In 2020, we received the facilities assessment report from Castle Booze, which highlighted that we have 26% underutilization in our facilities, and it's anticipated to continue to decline to 31% in the next 10 years. The contractor suggested that we have a long-term master plan for facilities in order to explore all strategies to optimize our school capacity and limit the financial burden of said underutilized facilities. Part of a long-term master plan for the town could also include redistricting students within the town to properly utilize each building and to distribute staff and resources properly. It should also include some type of renovation and an improvement plan for each building. We need to ensure that our buildings are properly maintained. We can't continue to let these buildings that we put so much money and time into fall into disrepair. And I think that all of this is important in the bigger picture as well, because properly utilizing our facilities can only help with our long-term budget concerns. Number two, so I think, and I'm sure Steve, you remember in the first, in 2019, a big part of the election was communication and community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I think another item that we need to utilize moving forward is a long-term communication plan. If reelected, I believe we need to continue to focus on enhancing the communication efforts between staff, families, administration, and the community. I'd like to see us draft some type of plan with metrics and benchmarks to evaluate where we are along the way. Stemming from the last two public budget hearings, I'd also like to see the school committee meeting with and communicating with more regularity the finance committee and town council around budgetary and other concerns. Also, now that we can efficiently host meetings online or, you know, even distanced in person,
right,
I think the school committee should begin meeting again with community members in an informal conversational setting. You know, we could have these office hours in conjunction with other events happening at the same time in the district to maximize attendance. Obviously with the pandemic, we weren't able to host any of our in-person events, but now I think we should be revamping these efforts. I think it's also important to point out what I see as a silver lining over the past 18 months, which has been the level of community engagement. In the past, it's been very minimal, but more recently we have hundreds of people logging into our meetings. Again, you know, now that we can efficiently host the meetings online, and they take the opportunity to share their thoughts. Transparency is what is most important. We want people to look at our leaders and know that they can trust them to make the right decisions and know that they'll be heard. There's no room for ego. A personal goal for me is facilitating those discussions. The question really is, how do we take this fantastic group of seven committee members, whoever they end up being, and at the end of the day, do what is best for our students?
And the opportunity with the Zoom platform is the base, as you mentioned. Certainly it's the bedrock now going forward for most of the public meetings. Things are Zoom first, and then they go to the live stream and to the cable feed. But then we also, at least under the circumstances, have the opportunity for the in-person option. So to the extent that you've had, and I think the high point may have been something in now north of 400 people on a Zoom session. I mean, realistically, you can't fit 400 in the council chambers anyway. So any of those meetings would have to be, you know, high school auditorium or something like that, which brings on a whole set of logistics around to it too. So that's one of the, if you will, technology enabling moments going forward. But I think that'll continuing to foster that two-way conversation instead of just the one-way coming out will be good.
Absolutely. And I think so, number three for me personally, I think ensuring the success of our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts
is
important moving forward. Franklin Public School District will be conducting an internal equity audit this fall. The intention is to review our practices in a commitment to promote diversity, belonging, inclusion, and equity. This is really taking a look at who we are and what we can do better as a school community to ensure everyone feels that they have access to the same opportunities. All members of the Franklin community deserve respect, justice, and equity. We need to be thinking, let's do what is best for our students, not what is most comfortable for adults. The equity audit should also just not be a box we check off and now we're done. The district needs to prioritize the continuation and expansion of the equity and inclusion work ensuring that the curriculum, professional development opportunities, hiring practices are all culturally diverse, socially just, and anti-racist. Also, similar to some of our other previous parent forums that we've had on social media, vaping, sleep, I'd like to see some kind of parent forum on the district's DEI efforts.
Were worthy topics for sure. And then moving more.
I hope it was okay that I centered them around schools.
I think the questions were open enough for that capability. So yes. And segueing into the next piece, reflecting specifically on your experience of background, what amongst that will help you serve in this role? Or another way of looking at it, what do you bring to the table that helps set you apart from the other candidates so that you should be selected as the one of the seven going forward?
So first, I believe that a school committee member, they have to be willing to collaborate with all members of the community. They have to be able to build public understanding, support, participation, one who can work well with others, commits to their role and responsibilities as a school committee member, and has a passion for the work and commitment to our community. All qualities that I possess. Having served my first 2 years, I believe I bring experience and knowledge to this table that sets me apart from some of the other candidates. While serving, I have participated in numerous budget workshops. I have attended monthly Massachusetts Association of School Committee learning sessions. They can range anywhere from topics covering superintendent evaluation, Robert's Rules of Order, to understanding Chapter 70 funds. In addition to currently being vice chair of the school committee, I also chair the community relations subcommittee, as well as currently sit on the policy subcommittee. I also serve on the school wellness advisory committee, the reopening monitoring team, the diversity, equity, inclusion committee, and also serve as the liaison between the Franklin Education Foundation and the school committee.
That's a list that for potential candidates to school committee, it's not just a meeting twice a month, respectfully. There are other things that can be done.
Yes, there are subcommittees, task forces, committees. There's a lot of opportunity to get involved.
And then the final question, specifically on the school committee, with the school district responsible for managing the largest portion of the town's budget, what ideas do you have to help solve the what we refer to as the structural deficit in the operating budget that we have?
So, like all towns, the school's budget does make up the largest portion of the town budget. The school committee is not entirely responsible for the town budget, and it is allocated its funds by the town council. My hope is always to maximize the money we are allocated to give our children the best education possible and to continue to have highly ranked schools. You know, that was one of the main reasons why we chose Franklin to move to. I wanted my son to be enrolled in a highly ranked school system. I think it's also important to continue to work with our local representatives to keep them informed of the funding that we do need, seeing what we can get from state and federal funding. I know that we meet every February to discuss our needs with our local representatives, and I think that this needs to continue to keep them apprised of our situation. Community members seem to forget that just last year we laid off 103 staff members due to the budget deficit. Congress stepped in to provide federal aid. However, it doesn't last forever. The COVID money will be gone by fiscal year 23-24, and we'll be hard pressed to find these necessary funds with the COVID money drying up and the state expecting Franklin to begin picking up more of the proverbial tab. We are losing staff to other towns due to our inability to compete salary-wise. Our school system and by extension, our students will suffer when we start to lose more staff and interested candidates because they can make more money elsewhere. During budget time, we hear that the school should be creative in finding fixes for the budget issues. Franklin Public Schools have already cut programs, languages in both elementary and middle, cuts to the music and arts programs, library cuts, elementary and middle levels, reductions in supplies, memberships, professional development. The public schools, we've already cut positions. We closed a school. Where do the cuts stop? We need to begin seriously investing in our schools. I know this year we will be conducting a budget efficiency audit. I think this is an important exercise moving forward. Franklin has a structural deficit and we've reached a point where it has to be addressed. I look forward to the results of the audit being shared with all stakeholders. I think it's an important exercise. And I'll end it with a question. I guess I've asked several community members, and I'm sure you've heard me say it before, but a budget is a moral document. What we fund is what we value. What does Franklin value?
And with the 2028, not so far away, that's the 250th anniversary of our founding as Franklin. What do we want to be when we grow up, assuming we're still on that road? So, yeah, valid questions, valid discussion that needs to be had for sure. Anything else you want to add as part of your, if you will, campaign promo? You've outlined, as in the answers here, some significant pieces that I think people will be able to say, okay, that's where Denise stands. Anything else to add to that?
No, I think that the questions that the community submitted really captured a lot of what I want to get across to voters this season. And I just hope that I can count on support on November 2nd.
Well, thank you for taking time to do this.
No, thank you very much, Steve.
And I wish you the best of luck as you go through this season. I'm sure our paths will cross somewhere in some of these meetings as well.
I'm sure they will.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. And used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.